This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, which corner do you want to keep around with a star on his helmet? 877-881-1053. About to get in some Cowboys news of the evening or the early afternoon. Appreciate you joining us here in Toloing. Turn it on and leave it on with the G-Bag Nation. Hour number three, Wolchuk, Chiafalo, Broaddus, Alexander, Freeman. Hanging out with you. The Dawson, he'll be back tomorrow. What are you giggling about over there, Broad?
I'm just laughing about Blake's scouting report.
We just got like a book, like a 2-chapter book text about the wide receivers Blake's been scouting.
Blake from the Fatties?
Yeah. From the Fatties.
The Fatties' own Blake Elliott?
That's why you turn it on and leave it on all night long. He told me, I saw him on Thursday after I did Foots the King, his podcast, on YouTube. And he's like, all right, I'm going to go this weekend. I'm going to watch the wide receivers and the DBs. I said, all right, let us know what you find. Well, he let us know what he found.
He let us know.
No, he sure did.
Good for him, man.
I'll read that during the break, Blake. I love you.
Foots the King is the Rex Ryan podcast you joined?
Actually, he's had Rex on a few times, I'm sure, but he just goes by Foots. And I didn't want to ask what his real name was. Felt like maybe that would be rude. So I just called him Foots.
Okay, yeah, whatever you want to be called.
He's a sweet, sweet guy. Sweet, sweet guy.
I admire how progressive you are.
817 texted in. It's our buddy Brian Sykes. Just got back from Finland, and he's got, he didn't say nice things about the Odyssey app, okay? Apparently, it could only be used in the U.S., so it couldn't be used overseas, I suppose.
Could you YouTube that thing?
Yeah, YouTube it or Twitch it, Brian. I haven't checked. I used the Odyssey app, though. Actually, it wasn't the Odyssey app at that time.
When you went to Jerusalem.
Yeah, I think it was radio.com then, because I was G-bagging my nuts off over there in the Holy Land.
So impressive.
And in South Africa.
What an experience.
Oh, yeah. By the way, my gosh, talk about people trying to get free stuff over there at the Wailing Wall.
The Wailing Wall.
And they were coming over like trying to sell things. I'm like, I thought this was a place of prayer.
Did you do some Red Sea stuff?
Yes.
He floated.
Floated in the Red Sea.
He did a little float.
Yeah, it does burn, like, though, because it's so salt.
Like,
if
so
you have,
salty.
If you have, like, a cut on your finger or anything, that thing is going to burn terribly.
Can you feel the float, like, the difference in sort of buoyancy or
Absolutely.
Whatever?
Absolutely.
Like, you can tell this crazy. Is a different water.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah. It is pretty nuts, man. It's if you have the chance to go, highly recommend it. No question about it. Now, the time in which, I don't know if there's ever a good time, you know, safety-wise, but we were we were definitely secured. When we went there. Now, I have a question. I know Eric's answer to this, but we're going to have to choose.
That's never good.
Choose your fighter. All right. Cowboys have a looming decision that they're going to have to make. I think I know where they might go. What's going to be very telling is, do they end up adjusting and restructuring this contract? All right. Dan Rogers blogging the boys. Cowboys are going to have to make a decision soon between Trayvon Diggs or Deron Bland. Now, can they keep both? I don't know. If they're going to try and keep Deron Bland, they need to be talking to his agent now and try and get an extension done. But Diggs is entering the second year of his 5-year, $97 million deal he signed in 2023. So I was thinking, well, the Cowboys are now committed to him regardless. However, that's not necessarily true, according to Rogers. The team was able to get a deal done early with him, and in the process, only a third of the deal's guaranteed. So this means the team has some early exit escape hatches built in. This is important because Diggs just had graft surgery last month. Timetable is uncertain, but he's expected to miss offseason workouts, parts of training camp. When will he be back at full strength? We don't know. Cowboys already paid his guaranteed money, and they haven't restructured a cent, meaning it will be easy for them to get out of his contract at any point during his last few years with the team. So following this season, if they don't restructure any of Diggs' deal, which they could do this offseason, I'm kind of expecting them to do that, which means that this ends up getting screwed. But if they don't and they leave that deal alone, they then have the escape hatch that they could utilize. And if they move away from Diggs, means moving forward with Bland as the team's new cornerback one. Bland's in the last year of his deal. If they want to move forward, they can try work on an extension this summer before he hits free agency next offseason. You could always do let him walk. You can get a comp pick. You can franchise tag him. There's other ways to go about this. I do think now that you can't trade Diggs because of the injury issue, which is the area I think that they might have gone. I think if Diggs was healthy, the Cowboys would be trying to trade Trayvon Diggs right now. I really believe that. And they would look to re-sign Deron Bland long-term. But that's no longer in play because he's hurt. So who do you keep moving forward? Do you look at moving on from Diggs after this year? Maybe you tag Bland. Maybe you give yourself a little bit of extra time on this. And it's a bummer because now because of the injury, really for both of them, you never really got to see the two of them together on the field together, which is what we dreamed of. Like the tandem of two ball-hawking, record-setting corners that just pick the ball off at an extremely high rate. But I think between the two, I would absolutely be looking at Bland personally.
Yeah, I would be as well.
Shocker.
Even despite the injury stuff to Diggs, but now that you compound the injury issues that he's had to go through, It's really a no-brainer. If they get a deal done with Bland this offseason, then I think you know where this thing is headed with Diggs at the end of the upcoming season. But, yeah, I mean, this is just another example of misfortune paying a guy that ends up being perpetually injured.
The problem that I have right now, if Carson would have shown me something this year, like, you know how Bland did, remember when he first started in the league?
Or even hell, an Anthony Brown type rookie season.
Yeah, if he would have had something like that, I would have felt better about potentially moving on from Diggs. The things that scare me about Diggs is his ability to come back and work and come back from the injury and stuff. You know, I mean, it seemed like he got really motivated. Like, we were at OTAs out there watching him, and I'm like, okay, why is everybody else appearing? This is going to sound terrible, but I sat there and watched players work out and had an idea like, okay, that guy looks healthy. That guy doesn't look healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but with Diggs, I mean, he didn't really take this thing totally serious until it got close to time for camp. And then we're at camp, and he really wasn't, you know, they're very good about, you know, getting the guys, you know, organized. And, you know, Brett Brown, I think, does a great job with these guys. But you got to be committed. I mean, we saw, like, guys like Overshown committed, the tight end, you know, John Steele, we saw him committed.
I mean, Terrence Steele.
Yeah.
Work ethic, never a question
Dak
with him.
Dak Prescott. Yep. Commit, you know. And so you're thinking, like, why are we, you know, going through training camp and he's – now, you know, we're at the Rams practice things or the, you know, then he's working in a little bit. And I worry about that. I worry about how committed he really, really is to rehabbing these things, you know, and listen, hearing some things, the fact that some people are no longer here on the defensive side of the ball might help him. You know, there's some people that were enabling him along the way.
A little coddling going on.
A little coddling going along, yeah. So let's see if if Carson was better, if Carson had, you know, show me something.
Well, in this year,
then maybe I think about this, but I don't know if I could do this.
And you
right
probably
now
have another year because you need him. This year you've already guaranteed the pay.
Yeah.
So hopefully Carson has a bounce back year too. Maybe that makes you feel better about it.
Yeah.
And then we talk about this time next year where what do you do? Because I don't know. And granted, like Bland just had his injury issue as well. And there were times where he was a little up and down. I mean, the Ja'Marr Chase game winning touchdown comes to mind. But I feel like consistently I kind of know what I'm getting from Bland. I love the pesky nature that Diggs came out with 2 years ago prior to the ACL.
Yeah.
The first three games of the season, he was looking like he had heard the noise about the physicality, played great against the Giants in the opening game, forced a fumble in that game, had a big hit in that game, and then you get hurt. And now you're in back-to-back years where you're injured, right? And availability is huge, and that's where the bummer is here. I'm sure the Cowboys probably could have gotten something on the trade market for him. And now you're just kind of like crap. I mean, you're looking at maybe he's a cap casualty if you don't restructure his deal this year.
Yeah, I mean, and then what happens with Jordan Lewis here? Like, how that's another area of huge need for the Cowboys this offseason.
It is.
You cannot gloss over that.
Now, a potential salary cap casualty. The Athletic has one for every team. The Cowboys, we stay in the secondary, and it's a safety.
Oh, yeah. Hooker. Yeah, this could be Hooker or Wilson. I think if you cut both of them, you save almost $10 million in cap space.
So our buddy John Machota goes with Donovan Wilson in this scenario. It's more likely that Wilson remains on the team, but if there was going to be a salary cap cut, the safety position stands out. To your point, both of them can save you money. Wilson's 2025 base salary is $6.5 million. Cutting him would leave $3.3 million in dead money. Wilson started every game last year. He finished third on the team in tackles, fifth in sacks, ranked 61st among all safeties on PFF. Other option, Malik Hooker. Started every game last season, finished fourth in tackles, tied for the team lead with two picks. Gross. Has a base salary of $5.5 million. $6.5 million next year. Cutting him leaves Dallas with $4 million in dead money. Hooker was 41st among all safeties, according to PFF, so 20 points higher, 20 places higher than Wilson. Slight age difference. Wilson, 30 this month. Hooker turns 29 in April. Isn't that amazing? Malik Hooker's younger than Donovan Wilson.
That is funny.
Again, Cowboys probably keep both, but the two starting safeties would be candidates if a cut had to happen. I'll tell you, much like defensive tackle, this is a draft to get your safety if you wanted to.
If you wanted to.
And that's the thing. It's like there's so many holes that the Cowboys can't fill all these. But gosh, at pick 44 and if an Xavier Watts from Notre Dame staring at you, oh, sign me up. In the third round, if an Andrew Mukuba out of Texas is available and you like him.
I love Mukuba.
Yeah. Sign me up, baby. Absolutely. Yeah. This is a class that has some safeties that I'm really, really high on. Maybe they like Nick Emmanuel from South Carolina. I like the other two guys I mentioned better.
Sure.
But Emmanuel, not a bad player at all. So I think certainly this would be a draft if you want to upgrade at safety. You could try and do so. Do they look at Wilson or Hooker as a couple of guys? Now, the dead money there screams to me that they're probably still on the team. I don't see them moving on, especially a year after giving Wilson another deal. But there's another one, Brian. We talk about the second contracts. Donovan Wilson's not really making him look great on that deal.
Well, if you look at the evaluation of the value of the player, that's a negative $3.2 million player.
Yeah.
But Hooker is a $253,000 negative player. So it's if you had to take one over the other, I think they might look at the guy who's had the higher, you know, the higher evaluation.
Well, what about the way Eberflus likes to use his safeties? Is he like interchangeable guy? You like to have two guys that can do a little bit of both?
We got to figure all that out. I mean, I need to sit down and watch some Bears tape and see how these guys.
Yeah, Tart. I think they brought in a guy that was pretty good with Chicago. I think he did sign a big name free agent, if I'm not mistaken, as a safety. But that's something we can do some more homework on. But that's a good question because like last year, Zim I know loves his safeties. Like Zim, he had a Harrison Smith, he had a Darren Woodson, he always had a guy. It seemed like at safety that he could really rely on to be a captain back.
Kevin Byard was there.
Okay,
and he was a negative player for the Bears. Oof. Elijah Hicks, he was a positive player. Jakar Brisker.
Okay, that was a draft pick.
Yeah. Jonathan Owens, he's more famous for being the gym.
That's right. They signed him. They signed him from Green Bay.
Yeah, and he was kind of a wash. Tavarius Moore was kind of a wash. And then Adrian Colbert was kind of a wash.
So they didn't really have stud safeties
with
Chicago. So maybe that's an area he feels. But I'd love to see what Wanye Thomas could do. You know, Marquise Bell, do you move him back more to say, like, they've got some options on the roster still. that didn't really get a ton of playing time a year ago. But the secondary is going to be interesting moving forward because they need some corners in a bad way because they're really hurt at that position right now.
Seems like the text is saying goodbye Donovan Wilson.
Donovan Wilson's
people are sick of watching him play football.
I think they are.
2-1-4, shout out Eddie Jackson. Bama, great. All right, we'll get back to some of the draft picks, like where the Cowboys rookie class ranked. It wasn't good, I'll tell you that. But let's do the top 10. It is President's Day. Top 10 hobbies for U.S. presidents on President's Day. Let's take a trip down memory lane. Some historical greats. That's next in the name.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to 4 different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, time for the Woolly Billy top 10 list of the day. We'll get you some Rangers baseball conversation coming up in about 15 minutes. Welcome into the G-Bag Nation segment here in the nation is, of course, brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. Also brought to you by Frankel & Frankel. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214-333-3333. With Frankel & Frankel, there is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Frankel & Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Here's Zach Wolchuk.
All righty, we've got our top 10 in honor of President's Day today, and I'll get to top 10 unusual hobbies for a select group of presidents. 877-881-1053. What are you doing this President's Day if you've got the day off? If you're not, how's work going for you? And what's a hobby that you have that maybe not everybody would be accustomed to having? I did have this left over from NFL News of the Day. Now, Tyreek Hill, we've talked about, and I actually brought it up yesterday during Bet Nation, Bet MGM, which we'll have some audio for, I'm sure, later on in the show, because Eric and I were We were knocking off some rust, boy.
You were electric.
It was a masterclass of Dog S for us in our first show back with what is now the BetMGM network. And this is some damning audio.
I think maybe 6:20.
Are they going to move you guys out of the time slot, you think?
I think there's a real chance of that. But we also had somebody really call out the city of Dallas in a very disgusting way.
Terrible way. Mm. In fact, I think he's blocked from our show forever.
Don't think we'll allow Evan Giddings of 95.7 The Game in San Francisco on the program anymore.
Evan Giddings?
What he said about the Big D.
Go bleep yourself.
Perhaps calling it the obese D.
Yeah, he was really taking shots at obesity. Tyreek Hill, we reminisced on his comments towards the end of the season where he was not happy in Miami. Now, Ryan Clark on the Pivot podcast, he kept it 100 with him. He said exactly what he said about Tyreek Hill off air, on air to his face. Here was the exchange between Ryan Clark and Tyreek Hill with him not really liking the way Tyreek ended his season in Miami.
Man, I feel like, bro, y'all too. I love y'all too. But this joke here, that's pissing me off. Tell me why I piss you off.
My mom always sending me stuff for what Mr. Ryan Clark always saying about me.
So here's what I said about you. Here's what I said about you. When you go into the locker room and you say what you said, that's not leadership to you.
Right.
When you and I can say that, I'll say that to your face.
Right.
I'm never gonna say anything about y'all that I wouldn't say in front of y'all because I know I paint a certain picture.
Right.
I'm pro player all the time. But in that situation, you a leader, right? And like people look at you not only for what you do in Miami, but for what you do overall.
Right.
Better than, in my opinion. You're better than that.
You're right.
In my opinion. So having calmed down, how do you see that situation now?
I feel just like you said. You know what I'm saying? I feel exactly like you said, though. Like, no bad blood against anybody.
No bad blood. Started off with a little bit of bad blood. Maybe they cleared it up there. I don't think Ryan Clark was wrong, and I appreciated him telling that to Tyreek Hill. Now the Cheeto said I was out effectively after his end of the press conference there at the end of the season. He's walked those comments back. He explained it merely came out of frustration.
Well, he also just threw in the towel in the middle of the game. He just stopped playing in the middle of the game, and you had like the sound from the sideline where you can hear him just saying, like, I'm done. And Jalen Waddle's like, yo, are you? What's the deal? Are you actually done? Are you out? Like, are you hurt?
He quit.
Yeah,
he quit on the team. And Mike McDaniel in the post game presser, like, it wasn't injury related.
Yeah,
he just didn't want to play. So definitely not a good choice of leadership there. Braxton Berrios, who's also a wide receiver on the team, was with CBS Pushing the Pile podcast, and he didn't really like it. It's tough, he said. Obviously, Tyreek kind of walked it back and apologized. It was out of competitive spirit, but you hate that as a teammate, right? Because you just went to war since late July, and the first minute after those things get said, the good thing is we've been with him, we know him, and again, he walked it back, so we look at it, and we took it for what it's worth, and we're moving past it. But I bet there probably is some bad blood in that Miami locker room. Like, it's probably one that you can easily squash moving forward because Tyreek Hill is awesome. And now we'll maybe get the race finally with him and Noah Lyles. I don't know if that'll actually happen. I know Noah Lyles is a big favorite as those two have kind of gone back and forth, the Olympic track star and Tyreek Hill. I'd love to see this. But, yeah, it wasn't a good look for Cheetah. And I appreciate what Ryan Clark did there. That was great leadership on Ryan Clark's part.
There you go.
I loved it.
Yeah. I mean, I think we all just want to see the reunion, don't we?
I want him to go back to Kansas City.
Back to Mahomes.
I want it. I want the Cheetah ending his career back in KC with Mahomes and Andy Reid.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I...
Like they never left.
I would prefer that as well.
Let's make it happen.
Or maybe the Chargers, maybe Justin Herbert with the cannon arm can finally show, like, hey, I have a legit dude here. Lad, we appreciate your services. We still want to work you out of the slot. Don't you worry. But Tyreek Hill, Bomskis from... Justin Herbert.
You guys surprised that Hill didn't challenge him more when the face-to-face?
No, because I think Tyreek Hill knows that he was in the wrong there.
Right. And Ryan Clark wasn't being like outlandishly disrespectful in the way that he was talking about it, just being
like,
open and honest.
I'm surprised he didn't hit him with the, listen, Ryan, you don't know what happens in our locker room. You don't know what I'm going through on a daily basis with that team. You don't know the things I'm getting. Listen, was I wrong? Sure. You know, should I have hung in there? Sure. You know, but you don't know. For you to say this and this about me, I'm surprised he didn't take that approach. Maybe he handled a lot better than I think I would have. I think I would have gotten defensive about it. You know, he's saying, hey, you're, my mom's sending me clips what you're saying about me. You say a lot of, you know, it's like he's saying a lot of things about him.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's not like he's saying one thing. It's a good opportunity to like, kind of like, what's your beef with me, man? I mean, you say it seems like it's more than just me, like, you know, quitting on a game. Sounds like you kind of make this personal a little bit.
Yeah. He easily could have felt that way. But
I'm surprised he didn't challenge him a little
kept
more.
Kept his emotions in check on this one.
All right, let's slide into our top 10 president hobbies on National U.S. President's Day. Now, some of the honorable mentions here for some of our former presidents and what their hobbies were. Bill Clinton.
Jogging.
We know one of them. Some of them got texted in from the 214. I see it, and that's a good text. But Bill Clinton apparently loved two things. Crossword puzzles.
Oh.
And he plays a mean sax. A phone.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, did we discover that Lucius has a little saxophone background? Did I get a tweet about that, Lucius? Did you reveal something about yourself?
Yeah, I can light it up pretty good, bro. I can play damn near every sax.
Dude.
Yeah, pretty good, except for that big baritone. I can't get with it.
When did the saxophone start in your world? I'd never heard about this.
Maybe like fifth grade?
Wow, dude.
Yeah. I clocked out in high school because I got tired of carrying it to school.
Long run, though, dude.
I had to walk or ride my bike because my parents didn't take me to school like that. You know, you're on your own, kid.
Yeah, lugging this big thing around.
Backpack and an instrument.
Backpack with my mom wanted every book that I had in, you know, a class. So I got all the books.
So you didn't have a locker. You had your backpack that was your locker.
Exactly, bro. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They had you military ready before you even knew you were.
Yeah. I'm riding a dino bike to school. I'm going to try to balance my saxophone and the handlebar at the same time. It's ridiculous, though.
Dude, the dinos are sick.
I gave up, yeah.
That's a good bike. That's awesome, though. What a fun fact, dude.
I know. I didn't know that either.
Could you pick it up right now and give us a little something?
If it's an alto, I can definitely hit you with an alto right now. Yeah.
A little hot cross buns action.
If we should get a saxophone and hear some of this. George Bush loves to paint. That's an honorable mention. And that got texted. I think somebody already knew that about George Bush painting.
H?
The 254. Yes. This was George. No, this was W. This was George W. Bush. Abraham Lincoln was also a wrestler. He loved to wrestle. Hmm. It wasn't just vampires. Real people, too.
Wait, that's a fascinating one.
Abraham Lincoln,
like, were they getting the singlet and everything? Like, put a little wrestling.
Gangly, tall, lanky.
But I mean, he definitely doesn't have the same type of Willie Lampkin build.
No,
you know,
no,
but
he was much, he was tall and lanky, but he got it done.
I mean, were they rolling mats into the Oval Office and Abraham Lincoln's just picking off guys? It's like get in the mix here, dude.
Number 10, we've got Richard Nixon. This isn't a surprise, but he was a card shark.
Okay,
loved his cards,
poker games guy.
Oh, okay.
Number 9, FDR helped write a mystery novel.
Huh.
What can you give us some specifics? Like how actually did he help? Was he just in the room keeping everybody, you know, their spirits up? Was he just kind of a vibes guy, or was he actually putting in some thought?
He basically created a plot, and then a writer took the plot and actually created Perry Mason, the creator of Perry Mason. That was part of FDR's plot for a murder mystery novel.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, is that Perry Mason? Is that Perry Mason's legit?
Yeah, he's legit. Perry Mason was like
your heyday, 1957.
Yeah, he was like a lawyer. Like Perry Mason never asked a question he didn't already know the answer to. He had a guy that was like a guy that ran down all his investigative stuff, and like he'd hand him notes, and that guy would run out of the courtroom, investigate, and the next thing you know, it's like, I'd like to call a witness, and it's like, Your Honor, this witness wasn't on the list. I'll have to present, you know.
He is Perry now. There's a new list.
He was always like, he was a grandstand guy.
8.3 out of 10 on IMDb.
What, Perry Mason?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
86% liked this TV show.
They made a show out of it. Yeah. I mean, from a book to a show. I mean, a lot of different variations of Perry Mason have been published.
Yeah, it was I'm Homesick All-Stars, bro.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's one of them.
He always got
Mama's Family, Perry Mason.
Yeah. He always got people to break down on the stand. He was like
just picking him apart.
Oh, geez. He's like, okay, I did it. You know what I mean?
Fine, it was me.
Yeah. You know what?
You got me. Okay. Right?
Who had it coming.
Better TV lawyer, Perry Mason or my guy Matlock, who my mom got me on years and years ago.
Oh, I did love Matlock.
Matlock was pretty dialed.
Yeah, he was real good and simple.
Yeah.
Well, one thing here that you did not prepare for.
I think Joe Pesci lawyer was the best.
Oh,
lawyer.
My cousin Vinny.
My cousin Vinny.
Oh, man.
Gosh, that's such a fantastic
so
movie.
So good.
Yeah. Actually saw that one.
Yeah, I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
Number 8, Obama was a big comic collector.
Comic books?
Yep. Loved his comic books and would collect them like they're going out of style. Grew up loving Conan the Barbarian and Spider-Man. Those are two of his favorites. Number 7, Teddy Roosevelt loved to throw down in the ring. Bit of a fighter, that Teddy Roosevelt.
Boxer?
Yeah. Middleweight boxing champion.
Like bare knuckles, dude.
Started wrestling, took lessons from a middleweight boxing champ, and then just fell in love with boxing.
I mean, Abe Lincoln, the wrestler, Teddy Roosevelt, the
we
boxer.
Got some fighters, huh?
Not a lot going on in that era.
That was it was a different level of manly man for president.
Manly man. Number 6 is Thomas Jefferson. He invited spy gadgets.
I'm sorry?
Yeah. The spy gadget. Go ahead and give that a Google. You recognize what it looks like. He also invented the wheel cipher, which was an iron pin containing 26 spinning wooden discs that could be used to decipher code messages. That's the way the British couldn't read any intercepted messages. It's a pretty incredible innovation.
Hmm.
5, George Washington enjoyed mule breeding mules. I don't know how many people do that these days. 4, John Quincy Adams was a regular skinny dipper.
Oh, really?
Really freaky.
He was life of the party, dude.
Big skinny dipper guy.
I love that that's like the first thing on his hobbies list.
That's his guy,
like,
skinny dipper.
I prefer being completely naked in the pool.
Yeah, he's a 5 a.m. swim dude in the Potomac River kind of guy. Number 3, Theodore Roosevelt.
I thought you were
going
to say that was Clinton.
Well, yeah, he also does.
he prefers skinny dipping.
He swims
in
different
Oval
waters.
Office.
Yeah, Theodore Roosevelt was a big hunter. Actually killed animals by the thousands.
Yeah, you're right about that. I've seen pictures.
Went on an 11-month safari through Africa.
I've seen that one, yeah.
Number 2, Calvin Coolidge rode a mechanical horse. That's what he liked to do in his spare time.
I'm more of a Calvin Cambridge guy myself.
And he wore the hat and all.
Yeehaw.
Number 1, though, Lyndon B. Johnson liked to scare his guests during joyrides. So he was just a big goofball.
What's scary is, guess, like, my dad would do the thing where he's about to turn left in a crazy intersection, and he would just move his hands on the wheel like
he's
turning,
just pretend
it, but
like you're
not
losing
like
control of the car.
Traffic.
Yeah, that was LBJ for you.
Wow.
Scared the hell out of his guests, but he'd be driving around pretend like, oh my gosh, the brakes don't work, we're going to die. And then, nah, just kidding, I'm just screwing with
Didn't
you.
Didn't he die in a car accident? Isn't that how he went?
No, he did in a car accident.
Maybe I'm going to confirm that. We'll address it on the other side as we go around the bases.
You
here.
Were Blake in history lesson. I don't know who's worse.
We go around the bases here in the G-Bag Nation. Let's hear from Corey Seager. And we have a position change for this former MVP and the run rule spoiled history next year in the nation.
We will be in Surprise, Arizona this time next week. We'll be flying out Sunday. So we'll be reporting live from Rangers spring training. We're looking forward to that. Rangers did make some moves to bring in some more bullpen help, as they've added another former Ranger reliever today, as they're bringing in 33-year-old right-hander Luke Jackson to a one-year major league deal. He was originally one of the club's two first-round picks back in 2010. So yesterday, they brought in righty Joe Barlow, our buddy, who had 24 saves from the 21-22 season. He's signed a minor league deal. So they've also added Jesse Chavez earlier in the offseason. So they're bringing back a lot of former guys. Jackson only made 15 appearances for the Rangers after making his debut in 2015 before he was traded to Atlanta. But he's a guy that last year appeared in 52 games for the Braves. Didn't fare great. He had a 5.09 ERA. WHIP was a little over 1.4. Averaged 10 strikeouts per 9 innings. His primary pitch is a slider, which is used more than 50% of the time. In 2021, that slider was one of the best in all of baseball, though, according to MLB StatCast. It was one of the more elite breaking balls in the major league. So can he channel that? He was a big buddy and good friend of Kirby Yates as well. Rangers hit gold with Kirby Yates last year. Can they find a way to do it again with Luke Jackson? But I was so pumped to hear that Kissin' K. Barlow's brother, Mr. Joe Barlow, was back in a Rangers uniform, so we can go and talk to him in the clubhouse again.
We did have a great interaction with him a couple of years ago in the clubhouse. He's a fun dude, so I think he'll be ready for more clubhouse shenanigans.
Sad news, Jock Peterson is sidelined. He's got the flu. So hopefully this doesn't spread around the entire team, but the flu is definitely a nasty one. And we know the Mavericks were dealing with that earlier in the season.
This is when you do it, though. Like, get it out of the way now. You don't need a midseason flu spreader.
Chris Martin had it while arriving last week in Arizona, and now Jock Peterson's got it.
Should you arrive in Arizona to be with your teammates if you're flu-ridden? Shouldn't you just ride that one out and then hop on the bird?
It's a tough one. I know. I feel like you probably should. You probably should just, like, I'm sick. Let's stay away and then rejoin the club when you're healthy. But one person who's super pumped about having Jock Peterson back is indeed his former teammate in L.A., the one and only Corey Seager. And did he indeed endorse one Jock Peterson? Well, let's hear from Corey.
Absolutely. For sure did. And gave high praises. He should. You know, he's a good player. He's a good teammate. He's good in the clubhouse. Excited to have him back.
Does this team need a Jock Peterson?
Yeah, absolutely. I think every team needs that kind of guy that can keep you light, keep you flowing, especially in the down times, right? You know, he doesn't get down. So it's those things that kind of get you out of the bad times more than the good.
Yeah, I mean, a clubhouse guy, he seems like he is quite the personality. I can't wait to get to talk with him when we get to Surprise as well. And it sucks that he's sick right now, but that means for sure he should be good to go in a week, right? He's going to be healthy, ready to rock. We're going to see Jock Peterson out there. But Corey's won a World Series with him, and he's looking to win two. And the 214 is Wolchuk having another baby when he lands in Arizona. Not this year. Going to be baby-free this year. Can't confirm for next year, but at least for this year, don't have to worry about that.
Well, because we know you get a little bit of a sexy streak when you go on vacation. You got another cruise trip planned for the summertime.
Right after the draft, I'm going to just go ahead and decompress first week of May, and we're doing a big cruise. But we're bringing the baby this time, so that might create...
On a cruise?
Never mind,
cruise,
you can't really call that a vacation then. That's just a
that's
a getaway.
That's how I felt. I was like, are we
not even
we don't have to pay for her. She's free on the cruise, but it's like...
But her presence is going to feel...
There's going to be moments where it's going to be really cute and fun, and there's going to be other moments where I'm thinking to myself, why can't... This is why we have grandparents, honey.
Yeah, you'll have those 30 to 60 minutes per day on that boat are going to be
this
awesome
is a fight
baby.
That I just... It's not worth it for me.
Well, you got to tell the bosses, like, this doesn't count as vacation time because this isn't vacation. You're bringing your kid with you.
There's a chance mother-in-law joins us, and if she does, that will save me.
Okay, well, let's cross our fingers.
Could mother-in-law not do it from here?
Wife doesn't want to leave baby for that long.
Hey, dude, that's Mama Bear stepping in. She knows best.
She doesn't want to leave her for that long. And I understand it. I mean, like, when I was, I missed her while we were out on Radio Row. I'll miss her for spring. For honestly, the longest time will be Oxnard.
Sure.
That'll be a week and a half. But yeah, I've pushed that, Brian. I did. I was like, honey, I don't know that this is the
best. Is this really going to be a vacation then?
Yeah.
No, it's not.
I don't know. I still got the drink package, boys. So it's going to be a vacation for me.
You go drink and food package though, right?
Yeah. Well, the food's pretty much included anyway.
That's already done.
You're good to go.
Okay.
Now, there's certain restaurants you can pay extra if you want to splurge on them. I don't do that. But the drink package, very, very important.
I
to get that.
I've never done the cruise, but I do romanticize often about just like a 3 a.m. whimsical pizza slice for no good reason. Just right there looking over the harbor.
Sorrentos. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good stuff. We did find out John Gray, apparently he's not going to be your closer. Bruce Bochy said he thinks he's going to be in the middle of the rotation. We view him as a starter. That's exactly where he's going to be. Now, I've never heard somebody dominate a bullpen like it seems like our dude Jacob DeGrom is doing.
He's got that track record.
Yeah. He has been dominating bullpens left and right. In fact, Evan Grant had an article that was titled that the best can't miss thing to do at Ranger spring training is just watch a Jacob DeGrom bullpen. It's if you're looking for the best show, it's Jacob DeGrom throwing a bullpen. I can't wait to see him on the bump. I'm excited. I've been calling for a Cy Young type of season for Jacob DeGrom. People can laugh all they want, Brian Broaddus, but when he's healthy this year, I'm going to tell you, I told you so.
I know. I was just thinking if it was this Elliott Shore Parks right for the Rangers.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, how many interceptions did DeGrom throw?
How many strikes?
Yeah, the bullpen, yeah. Commanded the zone.
Jacob DeGrom
was no more
10 and 0 versus the bullpen this year.
Was never more than maybe 3/4 of an inch off the plate.
Amazing. Mike Trout.
The breaker had some sharp bite to it.
Mike Trout's moving positions. He's moving from center field to right field for the Halos this year. He's 33 years old, and they're trying to do this to preserve his body and keep him healthy.
I'll give you $100 if he doesn't miss a game this year?
I don't think I'd take
that. You have to say like 10 games, maybe.
Like, there's no way he doesn't miss a game. I hope, like, this works out for him, man. I really do, because he's so good. It sucks for the sport when he's not out there.
You're just expecting to do baseball news, and all of a sudden it's
Mike Trout on the 30-day IL, you know, the 60-day IL.
There you go.
Here's Mike Trout. He's rehabbing a meniscus tear, and he's torn his other meniscus just from simply getting out of bed.
He tore his meniscus walking from the meniscus tear of the other knee.
They're both torn.
I wonder, we should keep track of this, of like who has the most home runs in games that his team lost. Because I would imagine Trout is up there all time.
I bet you that's a stat they probably have.
It's like that guy, two dongs, Angels lose 6-2.
Pretty much. That's how it goes. He's doing what he needs to do. The rest of the team just doesn't fall suit.
Why is Mike Trout hating right now?
No, I'm not Mike Trout hating.
You are.
Okay,
you brought it up. You said Mike Trout is like, nobody has better stats on a losing team than Mike Trout.
It's an indictment on the Angels. Now, at some point, You made your bed, Mike. Like, at any point, you could have just said, I need to go somewhere else to actually do some winning. It doesn't seem like he really cares about that.
No, and he should.
So that is an indictment.
I don't know why he hasn't forced his way out of there. Giancarlo Stanton, he's got very high level of elbow pain.
Both elbows, I heard.
Opening day in question for Stanton.
Maybe you can get Bellinger's wife to just help him with it, you know, with the icy hot and whatnot.
Yeah, this is a problem. He said it's definitely not just soreness. It was manageable last year. That's how last year and this year will go. It's not a when did it feel good and when did it feel bad.
There you go, help.
It's always feeling like crap, basically, is what he said there from Giancarlo Stanton. So that's not good news for the Yankees. The A's extended their manager.
Bad news for the Yankees is good news for the rest of us, though.
Yeah, it's true. Screw them.
Do you think he's trying not to play so he didn't have to deal with that guy?
No, I don't think he much cares about that. I think he doesn't want to play just because the check's still clear.
Yeah, he might as well. I mean, he can just go full Anthony Rendon. The rest of the league's doing
it. My man gets surgery just to get surgery.
It's like, oh, yeah, I don't have to play this.
I miss some anesthesia.
Did Rendon wait until P's and C's reported to have whatever season-ending surgery?
He flipped the calendar and said, oh, wow, it's time to go on IR.
Unbelievable. And the mother-in-law joining us is not a finalized thing. And the reason I would be for that is just because there is a babysitter in that case, if mother-in-law came with us.
Mother-in-law is a separate room?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Oh, no. That would not be in the same room. No.
A little just family bonding.
Yeah. No, we've done enough of that. She lived with us for a couple months, buddy.
Yeah. You did a great job with that.
A's have extended their manager, Mark Kotze, through 2028 as the team is preparing for their Sacramento layover. They're supposed to be in Vegas in 2028. We'll see if that actually ends up happening.
Let me ask you this about that whole Sacramento. Are we playing in a ballpark where it's going to be about 9,000 degrees and stuff like that?
Yeah, that's been a complaint in the summertime is how hot it gets there.
Yeah.
Not good.
No.
Okay. Not good.
Well, I know baseball is a hot sport, but it seemed like to me Sacramento seems like something's going on.
Well, they got a turf field there.
They don't want to play at this place.
Yeah, so it gets super hot. Like the field itself gets like over 100 degrees.
Used to do that when Kansas City and St. Louis.
Like Texas Stadium.
Yeah.
Like the pickle juice game. Yeah. Like that's the surface they're playing on.
Why you remind me of that game?
Insane. Well, because.
Couldn't pick another game.
I've never gotten over it, Brian. Mm-hmm. Never gotten over that damn
pickle juice
game.
Tell me about it. I was standing there when it happened.
Sure. There's nothing like getting ready to play any type of sport. And then you look across the field and you can just see the
haze.
The way the heat rises off that turf.
You start to see like a pond that I could jump into, but it's just a mirage. It's not even real. Rhode Island baseball took down William & Mary yesterday.
Oh, Bill and Mary got beat, huh?
The sides combined to score 58 runs, fourth highest output in Division I history, making this extremely impressive. Rhode Island led by 14 runs after seven innings of play. So they had a chance to break the all-time run scored record. However, the NCAA run rule, which is most often applied in non-conference play, allows contests to end early should one side be up by double digits after the seventh frame, which is exactly what happened for Rhode Island as they were up 14 runs after seven innings. They run rule this bad boy. It was 36-22 at the time of the decision. If they had kept playing, though, God knows how many runs these two teams could have scored. Missed opportunity. Let the kids play.
29 walks in that game.
Crazy.
29 batters walked.
Absolutely crazy. All right, there's around the bases. How about we do some finest next?
Yes, the NFL offseason has officially begun thanks to this arrest report, plus the filthy mayor strikes again next in the nation.